and holding steady at 76 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad you could be with us. And this portion of the program brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house tomorrow and every Saturday from 10 until 2. Well, I told you before, if you were listening before, you knew that I want to give away some movie tickets. Well, you know what? I do want to give away some movie tickets, but that's not enough on a day like today. You know, it's Friday. It's a nice day. For some of us, it's Hawaiian Shirt Day.
For me, I forgot mine.
See, before it was, well, you know, I've only got one. I don't want to use it all the time, and now it's I forgot. See how it's
changing stories?
You're changing stories again. I'm not sure how this works, but anyway.
I forgot the original story.
Of course. It's a new story until he comes up with another one. Anyhow. But I do want to give away some tickets. These are tickets for a movie. It's called Lucy. And I want to get to giving them away here pretty quickly because, you know what, our office closes at 4:30. So if you're wanting to see the movie this weekend, yeah, I want you to be able to get in and be able to pick them up. But you know what? Having you win four movie tickets, that's pretty good. But that's not good enough. I haven't called for it yet. Gosh.
Jumping the gun.
See, they're jumping. They don't even know what they're going to win. They're so excited. Yes, your speed dial works. Okay.
They're going to anyway. They're going to win the shirt off my back.
You don't want that. All right. Anyway, the movie is Lucy. It's at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And you know what? I want to make this better.
How are we going to make it better?
We're going to make it better in one fantastic way. You're going to win four tickets to that. But I'm also going to give you four ticket vouchers to go see a Whitecaps game. You know, I saw a Whitecaps game this last weekend. It was a fun time. We had a great time at that game. Fantastic. If you heard about, well, it was in January, they had the fire there at Fifth Third Field.
Mm-hmm.
There is no evidence of that at all. Place has been rebuilt. It looks sharp. It looks fantastic. And it's just a fun place to take in a ball game. It really is. So four tickets to go see a movie this weekend, and then four ticket vouchers to go see the Whitecaps whenever you feel like going. You just basically turn this voucher in at the ticket office. They turn it into tickets, and you get in. Just that simple. You got to take care of your own parking. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. But
yeah.
But four tickets to go see them. You know what? We're going to give them away. Yes, you patient person who is staying on the line, we're going to give them away right now. You see how this works? All right. In case you're wondering, how do I get in on this? Well, 877-382-4280 is the phone number. 382-4280 is the local number if you would like to be a part of it. And all you have to do is, first of all, call us, and second of all, answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael's about to share with us.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
In what movie did Morgan Freeman portray Nelson Mandela? Here's a couple of hints. It was directed by Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
And it was about the 1995 South Africa rugby team.
Okay. All right, so Morgan Freeman played Nelson Mandela. What was the movie? You got to figure that one out. And as you look that up, or whatever it is you're going to do, know that you could win some tickets to Lucy. That's that new movie with Morgan Freeman is in that one. Also, Scarlett Johansson in that. And how about we throw in four tickets to go see the Whitecaps as well? It's all good stuff, and we want you to enjoy that. And as we continue ahead, you know what? You get the opportunity to enjoy a discussion about Mark Schauer's plan for the economy and women. We'll dig into that here in just a little bit as we continue ahead on The Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Degrees, a couple of clouds rolling in, but otherwise pretty nice out there. At least that's what they're telling me. I can't see outside.
You have no windows to look out.
I really don't. It's a sad, pathetic thing, but it is It is what I have to put up with. Anyway, it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson. You know what? Bronson positivity. That's that positive momentum that is driven by a constant pursuit of excellence. That's what Bronson's all about. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/quality. All right, so we had the opportunity to give away some great stuff to you. Movie tickets, baseball tickets, Michael's shirt. No, I'm not kidding. Michael did not give up his shirt. But we gave all that away, and we gave that away to one person.
Yes, Sam from Kalamazoo.
All right, Sam won those, and Sam had to know a little something in order to win.
Yes, in what movie did Morgan Freeman portray Nelson Mandela? And the answer is Invictus.
All right.
That was the movie about the 1995 South Africa rugby team.
Okay.
Also starring Matt Damon.
I vaguely remember that now that you mention it. So, yeah, this one you might have had to know a little something. So, sadly, I know a little bit of nothing. So, you know, people say that about me all the time, really. So, but anyway, so there you go. If you want more movie tickets, well, I can't help you now. I dug around, seriously. We're done.
We're out for the week.
We're out. But you know what? I understand there's some coming out in August. And we're being told already some good stuff is going to be on the way. So movie tickets? Yeah. Yeah, we got them. We got them. We can take care of you on that. All
My
right.
home movies are making it to the theater.
What's that?
My home movies
Your
are
home
making
movies.
It to the theater.
Okay. All right. Well, there's something to look forward to. Okay, at least the food's good. All right. Okay, well, you know what? I promised, and it's been a little bit. I understand that we've had some things come up. But I wanted to dig into Mark Schauer's plan, his economic priorities for Michigan women and families. This is from Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mark Schauer's website, markschauer.com. If somebody is going to accuse me of not going there, you're dead wrong. I'm looking at it right on the site right now. Here are the things that he wants to dig into. Now, mind you, all of these things actually fit on my screen, so it's not a detailed plan by any stretch. But he's come up with one, so we'll go through them. He said that you know, we need to make Michigan's economy work for women and their families and not just the wealthy. So here's what he wants to do. As governor, Schauer pledged to restore the child tax credit, which he says was eliminated by Governor Schauer to, or Schauer, Snyder. How about that? It's a Friday, isn't it? All right, Governor Snyder to pay for the $1.8 billion tax break for corporations. And he goes into some detail there. The big question I have on this, and we'll go through this point by point, and then I'll just kind of tell you what my first blush reaction is. The big question I have to this one is, all right, you want to restore the tax credit. And in this, he talks about, well, families to have more money to spend on some things and things like that. The big question I have is, all right, do you plan on putting taxes back on corporations as a result of that? You plan on totally reversing that? If you do that, the question I have then is, what is your plan to help keep jobs in the state? Because if you're putting more taxes on corporations, it's going to cause them to spend less on jobs. And that could end up being a problem. I think it's a legitimate debate, really, you could have on that, just to say, all right, I get what you're saying, and I understand that, but where does the money come from? And if you're going to take care of this quote-unquote tax break for corporations, then, well, what are you going to do to offset that? Because corporations, you know what, when they get a little more money, they tend to spend it on growing their business. So how do you continue to encourage that?
And if they get less money, they could decide to uproot, move to another state that's going to, you know, let them spend more money.
Well, exactly.
And give them tax breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for some of these companies, you don't have to look too far to find a state that is willing to help you out. Because let's face it, for probably the last 5-6 years, Indiana has been battling to get business. And they've been getting a lot of jobs down there. And you know, hats off to them, but we don't want to send them our jobs. You know, so I think it's a legitimate question to ask if you're looking into this. Now, another point that he brought up here, he wants to strengthen equal pay laws to ensure women earn equal pay for equal work. Now, this is an issue that has been brought up President Obama's brought it up. You've heard Democrats bring this up. And, you know, equal pay, it makes sense on the surface when you hear about it. And when you hear about, you know, and they say, well, there's a big difference in what women get paid and what men get paid. But what they're usually comparing when they do those comparisons, and I'm not saying that Schauer did this one, but what they're usually doing in those comparisons is comparing apples to broccoli. You know, they're comparing two totally different things and saying, look, this woman got paid this, and this man over here got paid that. Okay, well, the woman is a teacher, and the man is a corporate lawyer. They're going to get paid different things because the job is different.
It's two totally different and separate professions.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you know, I understand that there is a sense that we need to make sure that we ensure equal pay. But you know what? There's already laws on the books that take care of that sort of thing. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a company that would admit that they're doing it. Now, there are some that would do it, certainly, but not many these days, I think. I tend to think that if you look at that and you say, all right, that sort of thing, and they're talking about greater transparency in pay, let me ask you this question. You want your coworkers to know what you make?
No.
Do they have any business knowing what you make?
No, they don't.
And dare I say that you probably, as you're listening to us, answered the same way Michael just did. You don't want that. But yet they're talking about a law that says, you know what? We want people to know what you're getting paid. That wouldn't be a good thing. That wouldn't be good for morale in companies either.
No, it's going to cause hostilities between workers, jealousy, rage, anything like that.
Can you imagine in some of these workplaces when you find out that Bob three cubicles down makes more money than you do? Yeah, and that's the thing. It wouldn't be just a, well, we'll see, you know, women are making this, men are making that. It would be, oh, well, I've got the same experience they have. And there wouldn't be, you know, it would be just you'd get jealous in general.
Yeah.
You'd get men jealous of other men and women jealous of other women. Who needs that? But, you know, I understand the idea of saying, all right, let's ensure this, but the laws are already on the books. I tend to think that one's kind of done. Expand paid sick leave is another thing he wanted to talk about. He says that businesses with over 50 employees should provide at least 40 hours of paid sick leave per year to recover from illness or care for a sick family member. And that sounds good. That sounds good. But at the same time, if you're going to tell businesses that you got to provide this, now businesses will do it to be competitive with one another. You know, sick leave is out there, and a lot of businesses already provide at least some. Granted, others should, but I tend to think, you know, doing this sort of thing, you're talking about regulation, you're talking about reaching into the workplace and saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. You're basically saying businesses, it's going to cost you more money to do business. Now, if they want to spend more money and attract better workers, it's totally up to them. And providing sick time and that sort of thing is absolutely the right thing to do. But it should be up to the businesses to do that. I don't think government has a role in that. It's nice sounding. It makes people go, yeah, that's exactly what I ought to have. But if you think that's exactly what you ought to have and you don't have it, you have options. You can ask for it, or you can seek out another job that offers it. Well, I understand the idea. Oh, it sounds good, but I just don't think that that's a good idea. To say, all right, because you know what? Would you want the government reaching into your business and saying, you must do this. You must pay for this. And sick time? Well, yeah, it does improve productivity and that kind of thing. But at the same time, it takes away from it because right on the cusp of it, if you're dealing with it, you got to pick up the slack and help out. But I think that's just being good common sense people. I don't think you need the government to tell you about that one. Another one, establish stronger job protections for pregnant women. It says workers who are, get this, disabled by pregnancy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Do we dare go there? How many pregnant women would say, I've been disabled by pregnancy?
Some are
legitimately
bedridden.
Yes.
Some can't really move.
Legitimately, I get that there are women that are put on bed rest. happened to my wife with one of our kids, and I get that. I get that. It happens. But, says, women who are workers who are disabled by pregnancy, childbirth, or related condition should be eligible for up to 3 months of job-protected leave. Aren't they already?
Yeah, I thought they were.
It occurs to me that that's part of what's out there already.
Yeah, isn't that called maternity leave?
Yeah. And most places offer that. Seems like. And, you know, they talk about, and women who are pregnant should be entitled to reasonable workplace accommodations, like transferring to a less strenuous or hazardous position with a doctor's recommendation. Now, you know, this is the sort of thing that you say, all right, I get it. Makes good common sense. But again, government reaching into businesses to say, here's what you're going to do. You have to do this. You have to do that. And most businesses are going to be common sense and say, yeah, okay, she's pregnant. We're going to take care of her. We're going to do what we need to do. And if the business won't do it, well, then you know what? She might end up just seeking something else. I don't know. But this whole bit about, you know what? They should be eligible for up to 3 months of job protected leave. They get it already.
Yeah.
I'm scratching my head on that one going, all right, what? Well, you're calling for something that's already there. All right. The other one here, this is the final point of it. Protect women's access to health care by protecting access to birth control and working to repeal the so-called rape insurance law, which bans insurance policies from covering abortions without an expensive rider. Now, they say expensive rider. I don't personally know what it costs to get one of those riders. I've not looked into it. Honestly, because it's not something I need to do. Okay. But here's the thing. Let's go back and dig into this a little bit. I think this particular provision, I would want some clarification here. And I'm trying to figure out if he's trying to address two different elements here or the same element. If it's two different elements, then you're talking about birth control and then you're talking about abortion, which I think are two different things, really. But if you're talking about abortion as birth control, then we've got something else to talk about there. And here's what I'm thinking. All right, access to birth control. Well, that's already out there. Most healthcare policies cover birth control. And let's face it, even with the Hobby Lobby ruling, Hobby Lobby themselves covers 16 out of 20 different forms of it. They just didn't like four of them. And it doesn't say that the access is not there. You can still get these things. And birth control is largely one of the cheapest medications you can get. Access is there. In fact, if you need it, there are organizations that will give it to you for nothing. It's out there. Access is there. Now, I understand that you're against what was passed in the legislature, the so-called rape insurance, as it were. But I think really what needs to be looked at here is not just looking at it that way, but looking at what's been done with healthcare itself. And this goes back to Obamacare, and this goes back to the whole idea that, you know, I end up with the same coverage that a woman gets. And it's ridiculous because I don't need maternity care, nor does she need a prostate exam. These are things that are different about us and need to be covered differently by different plans. Now, you know, I think when it comes to this, if you want to repeal that, then that's fine. Stand up for it. Stand up for it. That is totally fine. But I don't know. I think this is one that's a bit more of a tension point. What do you think about this? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. What do you think about Mark Schauer's five-point plan? 803-73 if you'd like to text us, too, as we continue the discussion on The Jeremy Lawrence Show. 590 WKZO. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you're with us and taking the time to join us today on this Friday. You know, I'm looking at the clock. We're just about 20 minutes away from, freedom for some people?
Freedom for some, yes.
For some people, and not for Michael. Sadly, we don't let him out quite that early. And not for me, because, you know what, they got me slaving away longer tonight. Actually, I just have more work to do. So. But you know what? Don't feel too sad for me. So it's going to be a good weekend regardless, and lots to look forward to. Well, Mark Schauer, he's got his five-point plan. We dug through it just a little bit ago. I think on the whole, I get where his heart is. I get the idea of, you know what, we need to be able to help women out, and we need to be able to help make things work for families and that kind of things. I think from my perspective, I think if you want to help women, you want to help families, then you need to do something along the lines of how do we attract jobs to the state? I think that's what you look for. I think you look for opportunities to say, how do we attract jobs to the state? So if I'm looking at, you know, if it's me and I'm not running for anything, I'm fine. I'm happy with what I'm doing. But if it's me, I'm looking at things and going, all right, how do we attract jobs to the state? Well, first, you do something about the roads. At the very least, you get on the road to doing something about the roads. I think you start by, if you're in the governor's position, you call on the Senate to pass what the House passed. To say, all right, here's the start. We're going to do this. I think the idea of saying, you know, all of these things are things that should be done, well, it's nice. It really is, and it's admirable to say, yes, paid sick leave, it's a good thing to have. You know, I've known people that have had jobs where, nope, you don't get sick leave. And you know what happens there? People tend to show up sick because, you know, you don't want to miss out on the money. You need the money to pay bills and that kind of thing. I don't know that it's up to government, though, to do that. And I don't think it's up to government to say that. I think it's up to businesses to say, you know what, to stay competitive, to get the right kind of workers, to get people that we want in here, we need to be providing benefits, and that's one of them. And paid sick time, I mean, I think it pays for itself. If you've got a business, it pays for itself by offering it, I think. Now, that's my thought. And who am I to come tell you how to run your business? You're going to do it the way you want. I don't think it makes sense to do that sort of thing. I think it makes sense if you want to make the economy work for women and for families, you make the economy work, period. You decide, you know what? We're going to make the economy work a little bit better. We're going to do things that attract jobs to the state. We're going to do some things that make it easier for businesses to decide to locate here. That is how you make things work a little better. That's what you do. Instead of, access to women's health care, protecting access to birth control, translated abortion, because I think that's what he's going for there. I don't know for sure, but I think that's what he's going for there. It's the government reaching into our everyday lives. I'm not a big fan of that. I think instead you just make the economy work for everybody. And that's what you need to do if you're going to run. That's, call it a one-point plan if you want. And that's probably why I'm not running for governor. But I think that's what I would do. Love to get your feedback. 877-382-4280. 382-4280 is the local phone number as well. 80373. If you would like to be a part of the program via text, you share your thoughts with us that way, and we will let you know just exactly what people are saying. All the important stuff. Anyway, all right. Headed to the phones right now. Dan is standing by in Three Rivers. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it. A little bit off topic here, but I know you've been talking quite a bit about Proposition 1. Mm-hmm. I received in the mail yesterday a flyer that was promoting Proposition 1.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, it had what is supposedly the verbatim wording of the proposition as it will be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most confusing thing I've ever read in my life. And
absolutely, they shouldn't have written it that way.
It's just ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that I won't vote for Proposition 1 because I think the premise of doing away with the small business tax, or personal property tax, rather, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But two things. First of all, they have to reword this so people can at least understand what they are voting for or against. Otherwise, they're just going to vote against it.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they need to explain it a little bit so that you can tell where there's absolutely no discussion about where the money is going to come from to propagate this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it really got me excited when I saw this because it's just nuts. And why they would put something like that on the ballot and expect people to vote in favor of it when you can't even understand it. It doesn't. The words personal property tax don't even show up in that. I think they're calling it use tax, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Dan, I think that's the problem with just the way that all of that was written. And, of course, yeah, it's got to show up on the ballot because that's part of our law and that kind of thing. But yeah, it really needed to be written a little bit easier. And as I understand it, the polling data that I've seen, Prop 1's in trouble right now.
I agree. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, at least. You know, I listen to your station quite a bit during the day and some other news, of course, and I agree. I think Prop 1 is in trouble, but I'm not so sure that they're not causing their own problems. It's just a mess the way they're going about it. I think if they would explain it and tell where the money's coming from, all I've heard along those lines is that they're going to dibble-dabble with some of these other funds and make that work mm-hmm. as far as replacing our fire funds and police funds and things like that. Well, that's not enough for the people. People aren't going to buy that. If you take away a tax that's been there for this many years and then you just say that you're going to get the money from other places that are already there, I'm not buying it either.
Well, and I think that's where it needs to be explained a little bit better. That's the one thing that holds me back on this one. I think the other thing, and I don't know whether to be encouraged by this or really worried, it seems like it's got broad bipartisan support. So I don't know. I'm scratching my head whether that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And I've taken up quite a bit of time here. So, but I was really surprised when I received that in the mail and saw that they said this is the way it will read on the ballot. And I looked at that and just, you know, it's just craziness. So,
yeah, well,
thank you.
Dan, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And, you know, that's the reason why that you hear a lot of these different campaigns out there to say, well, this is what it really means. Because if you look at the ballot language, it just, you go away going, huh?
If that's what it really means, why didn't they just write out that on the ballot for the proposal?
Well,
write it in layman's terms where people can understand it.
And I think it's that standard thing of this was something that was actually passed in the legislature. But because this is such a fundamental change to tax law, it's got to be brought to us, the voter. So they just took what was written in the bill and said, okay, here it is. Boom.
And most of us aren't going to be able to understand it.
Exactly.
And then the thing is, when voters don't understand it, they're just going to vote no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I tend to agree with Dan there that, you know, they really needed to be able to write this thing a little bit better than what they did. Now, that said, I think the education on the, you know, what this means, what Prop 1 is all about, that needs to go forward a little bit more so people really get, all right, you're doing away with this tax, where's the money coming from? And if there was that much extra money out there, why didn't we know about it until now? I think that's the other question about it. It's the one thing that keeps me away from going, okay, I'm for it. You know, I think I could be pushed that direction, but yeah. You know what? If you're going to just eliminate this and there's not going to be funds there for fire and police, that's going to be a problem for communities all over the place.
Yeah.
And how many of us want to go without fire coverage or police protection?
About nobody.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, we're going to continue looking at Prop 1. I'm looking to see if we can get some people that are experts on this so that they can talk about it. See if we can't get to that maybe next week or pretty quickly here since the primary is coming up. Well, you know what, Hillary, maybe she'll run, maybe she won't. We'll dig into this. There is a political consultant, pretty well respected, that says, I don't know. We'll talk about that here as we continue ahead. You're going to go into your weekend with at least some decent weather. 75 degrees, a few clouds, but otherwise pretty nice out there. Don't know that it'll stay that way. We're hearing that there might be some some humidity, some pop-up showers, maybe a thunderstorm or two. So be aware of that as we go throughout the weekend. All right, so to get you ready for your weekend, you know what? I can't think of anything more entertaining than the 2016 campaign for president. I know it's a couple years off, but it is kind of fun to speculate. And speculation has run rampant around Hillary Clinton. Mainly, people going, when will she announce and not will she? Well, Charlie Cook, he is the head of the Cook Political Report, a publication that has been called the Bible of the political community, has said that he is skeptical that Hillary Clinton would run for president. He published something on Monday. It was a column in National Journal, and he was mainly talking about Texas Governor Rick Perry and his potential campaign and that kind of thing. But buried in the piece, he talked about Hillary Clinton and said the odds of Clinton passing up on the race were rising to perhaps as high as 50-50. And I find that interesting. He says, you know what? I think people who just assume that there's a 100% chance she's running just fall into two categories. They're the people that desperately want her to run, and then they're the people that just think she's a robot. Well, she's not a robot as much as she sounds like one at times. She's not a robot. And one thing that Charlie Cook said that I think is very appropriate in this is he says, you know, believes that Clinton's decision to run would be a close call. It was not so much about politics, but just about quality of life. She's got to decide, I can live in total comfort and affluence. I can do things around the world through the Clinton Global Initiative. I can not have people carping at me, not have to grovel, not having to beg for money, not having to kiss rear ends. That's his words. And, you know, enjoy a grandkid. Its alternative is running for president. It's just a miserable experience. And no one has to explain to her what's involved. I mean, she knows what that's about. And if she's forgotten, she could go back over her notes, talk with her husband if she does that sort of thing. I don't know if she still does. Or, you know what, get on Netflix and watch Mitt. Because that pretty much runs down what it is. But 50-50 odds. And he says, you know what, he had talked to someone a few months back that was kind of in the inner circle that said, it's probably about a 30% chance she might step out. And he's saying, you know what? I think that's risen because this book tour that just happened, everything that went on with that, that it was not kind to Hillary. And it really wasn't. When she said, well, we're not truly well off. And, you know, we were just absolutely, but we couldn't afford our mortgages. Yeah, you remember, we talked about that. She said all of that. And I'm thinking, excuse me, Hillary, who has more than one mortgage?
Not many people.
Yeah, you know, so, all right, cry me a river. There are people out there that can't afford to rent an apartment in some places, you know. But, she goes along and says, well, we're not really truly like the wealthy. You know, we had to do this through the dint of hard work. Ask people like Bill Gates about the dint of hard work. I think he could tell you some stories. Sir Richard Branson, there's somebody else, you know. Yeah, hard work. I don't think any of these people were handed anything.
Mm-mm.
And she turns around and says that, yeah. Oh, boy, is she popular now. And she got an awful lot of media scrutiny over the course of that book tour. The book is not selling well. She got an advance. She's likely going to have to pay some of this thing back. And she got a whole lot of scrutiny over, you know what? She makes this when she goes out to speak. We talked about that right here, just how much that she makes to speak. What was it, somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 per speaking engagement?
Somewhere around there.
And someone asked via text, all right, well, what about Condi Rice? What does she make at a speaking engagement? $35,000, and for the most part, when she does that, she ends up donating it. She ends up donating a lot of what she made to scholarships and things like that.
Very good, very charitable.
So, you know, these are good things. So, for Hillary, she's got to look at this and say, all right, I got a grandkid on the way. Is this something I really want to do? We went through this before. And let's face it, the treatment she got in 2008, it was somewhat deplorable because of this whole fawning all over Barack Obama. By all rights, Hillary Clinton probably should have been elected president in 2008. Didn't happen. And we understand why. And, you know, we move on beyond that now. But you got to think that she might be looking at this going, all right, now it's my turn after that? Okay. What if they come along with somebody else that they like? What if they start going, you know what, we really like this Hickenlooper guy in Colorado or whatever, you know?
And it's such a fun name to say, too.
It is, absolutely. But the media is so fickle when it comes to that. And you think about, you know, they were all kind of like, oh, Hillary, she could run. Oh, she could run for president. Oh, Hillary's jumped it. Wait a minute, this Obama guy, look at that. Oh, Hillary, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and, step to the side.
And that's how she was treated. And you remember, you know, with Barack Obama, I mean, they had some stuff on Saturday Night Live that wasn't far from the truth. That, you know, they'd have debates and the whole bit. Senator Obama, how are you feeling tonight? Good, good. Okay. Hillary, what's your plan for foreign policy? And it was almost true, you know. So to see her go through that again, I think 50-50. I've really been trying to get a read on this. I'm an outsider on this thing. I don't know anybody in the Clinton inner circle. But I don't know. I think it's 50-50 odds as to whether she runs again. It's a tough call. It really is. So just have another minute or so here. But with that, we're going to take you into the weekend with Margaret O'Brien making one of her surprise calls. Margaret, welcome.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. We got just a minute left. So, Margaret, quickly.
Quick comment. When you were talking about Hillary Clinton and whether or not she runs for office, I find it interesting, everyone keeps mentioning she's about to be a grandma and does she want to do this. But yet, whenever the men run for office, nobody says they're about to be a grandpa. Do they want to do it? And I think we should judge her on her merits and not about the fact she's about to be a grandma.
Margaret, you make a great point, and I think that's the great... I'll let you have the final word. I can't come up with anything better. So,
thank you.
All right. Tell you what, thanks, Margaret, for your call. Thank you for joining us. And you know what? Next week, we're going to get together and do it all over again. 3 to 5, the Jeremy Lawrence Show here on 590 WKZO. Have a great one.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.